Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Gravita India Limited Q4 and FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sabri Hazarika from Emkay Global Financial Services. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, yeah. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. And on behalf of Emkay Global Financial Services, I welcome you all to the Q4 FY23 post-earnings conference call of Gravita India Limited. We are pleased to have the senior management of Gravita India, led by Mr. Yogesh Malhotra, CEO and Whole-time Director, Mr. Sunil Kansal, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Vijay Parikh, Executive Director. So today's session will be a brief on the company results and corporate developments by the management, and then we'll follow it up with the question-and-answer round. So now I request Mr. Yogesh Malhotra for the opening comments. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Sabri. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our Q4 and FY23 earnings call. I believe you have had an opportunity to review the earnings presentation and financial results that were uploaded on the stock exchanges. Before opening the floor for questions, I will provide a brief overview of the major highlights of FY23. I'm delighted to share that Gravita India has delivered stellar results for Q4 and FY23. Before we delve into the results, let's go over to some strategic highlights and project updates. It gives me great pleasure to announce that Gravita's step-down subsidiary, Gravita Netherlands, has been granted a 34 million euro ESG loan by European Development Financial Institutions. This facility was approved after detailed due diligence on environmental, social, and governance aspects. This would enable Gravita's offshore businesses to gain financial independence in terms of their CapEx and working capital needs. The facility is guaranteed by the parent, Gravita India Limited. This loan is a testament to the company's continued efforts to build a more sustainable future and commitment to its motto of "We recycle to save environment." I'm also pleased to announce that the board has approved a final dividend of rupees 4.35 per share, making Gravita a consistent dividend payer with a 12-year-long track record of sustainable dividend payouts. Gravita has signed an MOU to develop a battery recycling plant via JV in Oman with an annual capacity of 6,000 metric tons per annum in phase one. With the establishment of this plant, Gravita would expand its entry into the Middle East. The company has also expanded the lead recycling capacity at the Mundra facility to 60,000 metric tons per annum. In addition, value-added production of red lead with a capacity of 4,800 metric tons per annum and plastic recycling capacity of 7,500 metric tons per annum has also begun at Mundra. The company also began recycling aluminum in Togo and Senegal and plastic in Ghana this year. Additionally, the company installed 1,300 kilowatt capacity of solar energy generation, which is anticipated to produce 2 million kilowatt-hours of energy annually. This will support the company in its goal to minimize its carbon footprint by lowering carbon emissions by 1,550 tons annually. Let's now discuss the operational performance. In financial year 2023, Gravita has shown a growth in capacity to 2,051,000 metric tons per annum. We anticipate expanding each year and realizing our goal of reaching 425,000 metric tons per annum plus capacity by financial year 2026 for our existing verticals. The company has witnessed a volume growth of about 11% in Q4 financial year 2023 on a year-on-year basis. Lead volume increased by 13%, and aluminum volume grew by 31% on a YOY basis. Gravita has incurred a CapEx of rupees 108 crores, up 50% from financial year 2022. This company is committed to expanding its capacity and hence is expecting to incur a CapEx of more than rupees 600 crores by financial year 2026 for its existing as well as new verticals. Scrap collection for Indian plants is 46% in Q4 financial year 2023 compared to 40% in the last quarter. We believe that redefining battery waste management rules, extended producer's responsibility, and stricter implementation of GST have boosted the and will continue to enhance scrap availability for the formal recycling industry. As a result of this, the battery scrap collection in India grew by 23% to 13,100 metric ton in Q4 from 10,700 tons in Q4 2022. Moving to Q4 financial results, consolidated revenue for the quarter is ₹749 crores, up by 12% on a year-on-year basis. This rise in revenue can be attributed to an 11% increase in sales volume. Revenue from value-added products stayed at 45%. On a year-on-year basis, adjusted EBITDA increased by 17% to ₹85 crores. EBITDA margins improved to 11% and the company continued to maintain strong margins. Gravita reported a strong consolidated PAT of ₹65 crores with a 40% growth year-on-year. PAT margins also improved to about 8.5% compared to 6.2% in the last quarter. Going forward with the financial year 23 financial results, consolidated revenue increased by 26% from ₹2,216 crores to ₹2,801 crore. The 5-year CAGR growth stood at 22% and the company is committed to achieving 25% sales volume CAGR by financial year 27. Adjusted EBITDA, including other income, for financial years 23 stood at ₹286 crore, which is up 33% on a year-on-year basis. Consolidated PAT increased by over 44% to ₹201 crore. PAT margin for the year improved to 7.18% compared to 6.29% in the last financial year. The 5-year PAT CAGR stood at 35%, which is in line with the company's vision. Additionally, I would like to inform you that the company has reduced its debt by ₹40 crore plus in financial year 23 and is committed to reducing it even further going forward. The company's ROC stands strong at 29% compared to 12% in financial year 19. The company has managed to improve its net working capital cycle from 95 days in March 22 to 83 days in March 23. The company aims to reach the target of 65 days by financial year 26. Yeah, over to you, Sabri. I am through with my opening remarks.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Keshav from Roxanne Investors. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. Congrats for a really good quarter. Sir, our planned capacity expansions for next 2 years are pretty substantial. So, do you think we should grow at a much higher clip through FY25, so FY24 and 25, 2 years?
So, there are two portions of this growth in next 2 years. Basically, one is expansion of the capacities at our existing plants in our existing verticals. And then, which is expected at 25% year-on-year basis, volume growth of 25%. Then the second growth is coming from the new verticals. We have planned like rubber, we have already started one plant at Ghana, but we are replicating that rubber recycling at other locations also. Shortly, in next 2 quarters, we will be replicating it to other locations. And then we are also adding new verticals of steel recycling, paper recycling and lithium ion recycling next 2 to 3 years. So this will help us to grow faster than the growth earlier we did of 22% next last 5 years.
Sure. And sir, the 600 crore plan capex, how much of it would be India centric and how much would be ex-India roughly?
Yeah. So basically, again, 600 crores includes the new verticals capex of approximately 250 crores. Remaining capex of around 350 crores, the capex will be in the similar ratio, like 40% should be overseas and 60% in India. But for the new verticals, approximately 80 to 90% capex is outside India.
Okay, so sir, both the CSD loan facility, where do you see our console cost of debt going forward?
Sorry,
cost of debt.
So cost of debt, the existing cost of debt is approximately 8.5%, and with this new facility, we are going down to approximately 6.5%, saving of approximately 2%.
Okay, that's on a console basis, right?
Sorry?
Yes, console basis.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Vikash from Acum Tree. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I think one thing is there. In the last Q4 presentation in FY22, whatever the vision statement is there, it's the same is there, and you mentioned this is a vision statement of 2026. But again, in this Q4, you mentioned the same line is a vision 2027. Any specific reason is a repeat and the year is changed?
Yeah, sure. So basically, what we are doing is that we are giving a visibility of next 4 years. So when we were in 2022, then we gave a four-year visibility of the numbers next 4 years. So the visibility of next 4 years is similar to visibility of last 4 years. So numbers are same, but then it is 1 year extended for the similar numbers. Like 25% growth will be continued till 2027 instead of 2026 earlier. So it's a rolling basis visibility of next 4 years.
Okay. So then is the visibility is the next 4 years? Is the same thing is there?
Yes.
Apart from that, it's a, right now our value added product is a 35% is there and our target is a 50% is there. Whether is the same will be achieved in the FY26-27?
Yes, same will be achieved in 2027.
Current number is 43%. We targeted to 50%.
This is a 43% and 50% will achieve in FY26 or 27.
Yes, because in the coming two to three years, we are expanding the value-added production in our overseas facilities also. Also we are starting, we have started red light production in our Mundra facility. So we currently value-added production of red light and lead sheet was only to the extent of Jaipur plant. But now we are replicating this model to other locations also.
Okay, in which other location is apart from Jaipur?
Like Mundra we have just started, so that will be that is added. So Ghana we are starting, and also we are starting like alloys we are starting in other locations like Senegal and Mozambique.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Dhaval Shah from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello.
Yes, sir.
Am I audible? Yeah, hello, sir.
Yeah, please.
Sir, attending the call for the first time, great set of numbers. So just two broad questions. So first is, taking the lead about the current profitability. And the total capacity which you're guiding by FY26, is it safe to assume that at full utilization, we will do around 900 crores of EBITDA at the company level?
Yeah, so EBITDA is growing by 35% every year. So we have also, other than the volume growth visibility, we have also given the visibility of the bottom line, like EBITDA terms and the PAT terms. So it will be 35% growth on the profitability EBITDA side. But we are more focusing on the return on capital because there are certain businesses where the working capital cycle is lower, but at the same time the margin is also lower. So rather than only focusing on the EBITDA per ton or EBITDA percentage, So we focus on return on capital. So idea is to keep the return on capital minimum threshold of 25% plus. And so that is the more focus area for the company with the volume growth.
Yes. So in the for fourth quarter, our EBITDA per ton has been around 20,500 rupees. So and by FY26, we are going to do 434,000 tons, 434,300. So between today and FY26, full utilization, will our product mix be significantly different, which will lead to a change in this 20,500 EBITDA per ton?
So, 20,500 per ton is only for the lead. So there are different per ton EBITDA for different products. So 20,000 is for lead and 17,000 for aluminum and plastic. It is approximately 10,000 rupees per ton. So the product mix in the next two to three years will be changing because we will be more doing the other products will be like aluminum and plastic will be growing faster and there will be some more verticals coming in. So we see always the EBITDA per ton of the different products individually. So we don't see on an average basis. But yes, going forward with the more volumes coming in, there will be economy of scale benefit of also be there. And we will be on the EBITDA percentage terms, we will be better as compared to what it is today.
Okay. Sir, do we receive any sort of subsidy or any sort of grant from the government?
So we don't get the grant on a regular basis. But yes, there was only one grant we got. We got it is for establishment of Chittoor plant in Andhra Pradesh. So that was there. But other than that, there is no specific grant for any product or business.
So it's not a grant for manufacturing or for processing. Basically, it's a grant to set up an industry in that state. So it's only a one-time subsidy that the government has given in establishing a manufacturing unit in that state. Apart from that, there is no grant on recycling or anything like that.
Okay. Understood. And sir, we are planning around 700 crore, 650-700 crore CapEx till FY26. So how is this going to be financed?
Yeah. So majorly, this will be financed from the internal accruals. But considering the upcoming requirement of the working capital also, so we will be taking consciously some debt also, approximately 200-300 crores of debt, additional debt in next two to three years. But on the debt side, we are very comfortable. And we are very consciously taking the debt in terms of like debt EBITDA should be below 0.75, debt equity should be below 1.5. So considering all these numbers, we are very comfortable. Debt EBITDA, we are 1.2, and debt equity, we are 0.6. So we are consciously taking debt, but yes, it will be more funded from the internal accruals, majorly funded from the internal accruals.
Okay. So maximum you will take is around 300 crores debt.
Yes.
So by the time the CapEx cycle is over, our balance sheet in FY27 might have a total debt of around 700 crore. We are at 350 today, so around 650 crore.
So that is one way of looking at it. Then the second alternative for us is to dilute at the right time by raising some equity from the capital market also. That is another option to
Okay. Okay. And sir, could you give some examples of similar business model at the global scale, where the companies have grown big in size and to which you look forward to in terms of the business model and scale, what they've achieved?
So basically, I think the model that we are in, where we are doing across geographies and also into different verticals, there is no other company in our knowledge that is doing something similar. But if you talk about, there are in different fields in aluminium, there are different companies who are recycling. Similarly, in lead also, there are companies that are doing battery recycling. But mostly are only in one particular field and doing only one product category you will not find companies that are into many other vertical, which are doing recycling in different verticals.
Okay. Great, sir. Thank you. Thank you for the answers.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Nikhil Rungta from Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, a couple of questions from my side. To start with, on the debt side itself, if you can just, I mean, you highlighted that you might come to the market for raising either equity or debt as well. So, if I have to put it this way, what's the maximum leverage that you will be comfortable with? That would be helpful.
Yeah, so leverage, current leverage, if you see that current leverage is approximately 1, but we can go up to maximum of 1.2.
Okay, so beyond the 1.2, we'll go for equity raising only, right?
Correct.
No more for that, beyond 1.2.
Correct.
Right. Sir, second is on capex of this 650 crore over the next 3 years. So when is it that we'll start seeing the result of this capex in our numbers?
Yeah, so capex, whatever capex we do in the year one, so 8 to 9x of revenue generation happens in the next year. So it is a rolling capex. So every year, whatever, like this year we did capex of around 108 crores. So next year we can see the 8x revenue generation from that number.
Okay. And even from the new verticals which we are planning, 4500 and 105 crores. So very
yeah.
Next year we'll get that, or it would be after 2 to 3 years, once the entire.
Yeah, new verticals may take slightly more time to be stable on the. Results coming in. So, like we expect, instead of 1 year, it may be 1.5 year to 2 years in case of paper recycling and steel recycling, the new verticals.
But there also we'll get asset turn of 8 to 9 times, right?
Yeah, asset turn will be same.
Okay. So, last question from my side. We are also into aluminium recycling. I mean, there are concerns that. Because of EV, this lead recycling might come under pressure, but aluminium recycling would be a big opportunity going forward. So, your plans, I mean, if you can slightly elaborate on the aluminium recycling.
Yeah, so basically, to answer your question, first of all, we have already, mentioned this many times that with the EV, lead recycling would not, it is not a threat to lead recycling, because even in an EV you would require a lead acid battery, because it's basically to do the starting, lighting and ignition and auxiliary function. So
right.
With the EV also the lead acid battery would not go away, but of course it will give you an opportunity to recycle lithium ion batteries also, which is replacing the IC engines. So that is the first part. The second part of course is the aluminium recycling. Of course, with now most of the car bodies etc. are using more and more material which is lighter. Earlier they were using steel etc. Now aluminium frames are very common. Apart from engine, other total capacity or your total requirement for aluminium is increasing every day. So we believe that there is bigger opportunity for aluminium. Even at current levels, aluminium is around.
Once with IC engine is replaced, so but lot of battery casings and other extrusions will come in the picture. So there is a existing aluminium consumption in a car will be going at least 1.2-1.3x.
Okay. And the current aluminium recycling which we are into, that's primarily the car bodies itself or other aluminium?
Currently, we are into cast aluminium recycling. So, those are mainly engine, piston, any castings which uses for the cast purpose. And alloy wheel also cast part. So, these are the two parts. The body is mainly of steels, that is mainly sheets and extrusions. But in time to come, we can recycle that as well.
Okay. And currently, the scrap for aluminium would be coming from outside only? It would be import?
Currently, it is mostly imported. We talk about Indian recycling. But in overseas, we are recycling local scrap generated. Because India doesn't have any specific policy. The cars which were using which are now redundant, maybe 25 years old car, they are not having much of aluminium. But with this policy of old vehicle policy, officially scrappage policy, the trucks and buses will come, commercial vehicle. They are mainly of iron, steel, cast iron. But once the new age car comes for recycling, but that will take time in India. So then there will be more of aluminium availability there.
Got it. Sir, last question from my side. We have got this ESG funding which you have just announced today morning. So this 34 million euro ESG loan, if you can give some, I mean, not the exact numbers, but how is it compared to the existing borrowing for us? Will it benefit us significantly and cut down our cost of funding, or how is it?
Yeah, so there are two aspects to this. One is that it will be improving the liquidity for our overseas business and India business. So that is one. And second is the cost saving for our business because the current borrowing cost is approximately 8.5%, which will come down to 6.5% after this new borrowing. So, and another part is that because they have done the detailed due diligence on the environmental and social and governance aspects in overseas business, for the overseas business, especially Ghana and Senegal, so which is the bigger subsidiaries for us. So it is also basically certification for us to that we are following all the environmental standards at the IFC standards globally at our all overseas plants. So this way it is going to help us in different terms.
Got it. Quite helpful, sir. Thank you so much and all the best for the future.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from Lano John Shepard from Batteries International. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello gentlemen. Good morning. Oh, good afternoon, rather. I also have a follow-up question about the loan that's been announced today. I understood what you've just said about helping to reduce borrowing costs, but will any of this loan support the project in Oman, which of course Gravita Netherlands was associated with?
We couldn't hear the question properly. Can you come again, please?
Yes, of course. I was going to say, about the loan that's been announced today, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, we can hear you clearly now.
Right. I appreciate you said it will help reduce overall borrowing costs and so on, but will it also be used to support the project in Oman with that Gravita Netherlands is associated with, the recycling project there?
This new funding is only for the African business at this moment, and Oman will be majorly funded from the internal accruals for the group.
I see. So that means then, will you be expanding lead recycling in Africa as a result of this loan?
Not only lead recycling, aluminium, plastic recycling also, and probably in we will set up a steel recycling plant also in Africa. So it's not only for lead recycling. And as far as Oman is concerned, I think in Oman we have option for cheaper fund availability also.
Okay, perhaps a final question if I may cheekily. Who are your partners in Oman?
So they are local Omanese partners that we are working with, who are already in the trade of scrap there.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much, gentlemen. I appreciate the call.
Welcome. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Weber from Enam Holdings. Please go ahead.
Hello, Yogeshji. Congratulations on great results.
Thank you.
I think two questions. One, if you could please just give us some more color on this new CapEx and the new vertical on the 200 crores that you all are spending. Just, I know you guys obviously are very clear on capital allocation and obviously must be seeing some strong opportunity there. So if you could just give us some color on what this is and how you all are thinking, what you all are seeing.
So in the existing verticals, which is lead, aluminium, plastic and rubber, we would be spending around 70 to 80 crores in the next 4 years. which will be approximately 300 crores in the existing verticals, and another 250 to 300 crores of capex would be done for new verticals, which is, as we mentioned, we are planning to have a steel recycling project in Africa. We are also planning to put up a paper recycling facility in Central America, and apart from that, a pilot project for lithium recycling in India. So these are the three major projects which we are considering right now. But apart from that, we have enough surplus money available to look for some mergers and acquisition opportunities if it may come across, or maybe a smaller project for any other vertical also.
Okay, and my second question, on plastics, what is sort of happening over there in terms of the capex, the growth, the opportunity, and especially the regulations that we were expecting to kind of help formalize the sector.
See, plastic EPR is not, we are not involved much because we are into the plastic recycling, which is mostly of our own recycling of batteries. But when it comes to other areas, the similar grade of polypropylene, we can certainly see that we can fulfill the EPR targets from the paint industry.
So this EPR policy is still not plastic has come, but the registration is currently going on for the recycling industry. So once that finishes off, then probably that push that is required for the EPR to start happening in India would happen. So that is where we are focusing on, and then also the scrappage policy probably will be a source for raw plastic that is going to be available for us going forward. So these are the two areas which will give you the push going forward in plastic recycling in India. So it is still to take off, like lead recycling has taken off, but we are expecting, because right now, if you talk about lead recycling, it is directly affecting the companies that buy lead. Whereas in plastic recycling, what is happening is that most of the companies that are affected are companies that use plastic as a packaging material. So for them to understand it completely is taking a little longer. But once that starts happening, probably we'll see a lot of opportunity in the plastic recycling also.
Okay, understood. Thank you so much and best of luck.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Abhijit Sinha from Pi Square Investments. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Could you just take us through how you plan to add these different verticals that we have in mind in the next 3 to 4 years in our vision for 27, and what would be the different yields between these segments?
Generally the major factor for us to put up any recycling, a new recycling vertical, is to see whether there is enough availability of raw material at the right price for us. So because we are present in many locations, we have our own procurement yards in many locations across the globe. We can see some opportunity. We are currently seeing some opportunities in steel recycling in Africa and paper recycling in Central America. So what we do initially is we just try to, first of all, understand the whole market scenario of any particular vertical wherever we want to go into. And then in the second phase, we just try to trade some material to see whether what is the depth of the total available material in that geography and what price we would be able to sell and all those things. So in steel and in plastic, we are in the in steel and in paper recycling, we are in the second phase, where we are now understanding the whole business mechanism of this recycling in those regions, specific regions basically. Probably it will take us 6 more months to understand it completely. And once we are through with our feasibility, then we will set up a plant in both these locations for steel and plastic, steel and paper. If that is what you are asking. And in terms of, we have our targets of EBITDA margins and ROC to see whether it matches with our philosophy of going forward with 25% ROC or not.
No, sir, makes sense. So what I actually meant was, let's say we're talking about lithium recycling, e-waste recycling, all these kind of segments that we're even thinking about of adding into our portfolio, right? So in what stages are we actually looking maybe in 25 we might start with e-waste or lithium.
So lithium mine is a little different because we believe that the raw material for lithium mine will not be available for recycling in India for the next 6-7 years. So what we are doing is, but at the same time, even in lithium ion, right now, there is no proven technology also. So we are putting up a pilot project to understand how the lithium recycling would work. So it's just a pilot project. It's not a full-scale project which will give you a research. It's more of a strategic business unit that we will be putting in, where probably profitability will not be that important. But what we want to understand is to set up a technology that is that will suit lithium ion recycling in India. So it's in a very nascent stage currently. It's not something that we have done complete homework on in terms of profitability and all. But for the other two, steel and paper, it's basically a simple project because the technology is proven. I mean, it's not of a rocket science. And it's very similar to what we are doing in lead or aluminium or plastic recycling.
Is it difficult to do the steel and paper over here in India as well?
So as I mentioned that it basically depends on the raw material prices available and the opportunities available from which you can make more money. So even in India, if you look at steel recycling or paper recycling, most of the raw material comes from overseas. So a lot of value get wasted in the logistic cost. So if you put up the plant overseas itself from where we are importing those materials, you save on those logistic costs also. And at the same time, all these countries, wherever we put up those plants, also require finished products. So, for example, a country in Central America would be exporting a lot of scrap paper out of that country, but at the same time, they will be importing a lot of finished products, corrugated paper also into the country. So by putting up the plant itself in that country itself, you will save on a lot of logistic costs. So that is the idea behind having those operations overseas rather than having it in India.
Understood. So there are a lot of e-waste recycling companies here in India, and I think 85% is unorganized. So
absolutely,
how does that look for India, a segment that you are interested in?
So again, I mean, till the time India can find out a solution to separate these things in an organized, I mean, take this recycling into the organized sector, probably it will be very difficult to compete with the unorganized sector, because what is happening in e-waste mostly is that people are refurbishing rather than recycling it. So you cannot compete with the unorganized sector, because again then paying GST, etc., everything else, you don't become competitive enough to compete with this unorganized sector. So till the time e-waste start happening in the organized sector, probably it will be very difficult to compete.
Is it difficult for us to lead the change, as per se?
Yes, it is. For any one company, it would be very difficult.
Okay. So then we require the other...
It needs to be supported by the policy. So we are not asking for any subsidy or anything else. What we are asking is basically a level playing field where all the companies, whether they are organized or unorganized, go through the same, in the same manner. I mean, they are treated in the same manner. So unless and until it is there, probably it will be very difficult.
So at the moment, the government is supporting primarily the lead recycling, if I'm not wrong.
No, it's not. Government is trying to support recycling in an organized manner for all the sectors. So they are bringing in policy, changing policies, because, you know, there are loopholes in some of the policies. So government is trying to fill those loopholes.
Okay.
But it will probably take some time for the e-waste policy also so that people cannot misuse that policy currently. Currently, most of the people who are doing that e-waste recycling are generally, it's basically refurbished. So it's only an eye wash. They are actually not recycling it.
Understood. And sir, due to this recycling that we are doing, it would require a lot of power consumption, right? So then I was just checking the financials. This accounts to only about 1% of our top line. So how do we do the accounting for the power cost?
So in metal recycling, generally it's not the power cost, it's basically the fuel cost that is, the biggest component of process. So so in power, actually it's a very, very small cost, but fuel cost is a little higher than power cost for us.
And fuel cost is accounted for in the material cost, basically.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt you, Abhijit. I'll request you to join the queue again for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Kosh Nahar from Electron PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Hi, please. Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So I had two questions. One was, how is the progress on the shift that is going on from the unorganized to the organized segment? And second is, any particular reason for our volume growth year on year to be 12%, which seems a bit lower than our other quarters, and the next expected volume growth in the next 2 to 3 years?
For this shift from the informal to formal sector, the new regulation, which is known as BWMR, that has come, and under that BWMR, there will be a EPR on battery, lead acid battery. Rather, all battery will come under EPR, which were not there in earlier rule, which was known as BMHR. So this EPR is in process. All registration from the manufactured side are done, means battery manufacturer and importer. And next stage, it is with the recycler will be registered on this. And stage three, the manufacturer has to fulfill the EPR targets. And if they don't fulfill, then there will be some penalty. So this entire process will shift the existing informal volumes, which is almost 65%. So we foresee that from this 65%, 30-35% volume should shift to formal sector. So there is a huge growth potential in the formal sector.
What was your next question, sir?
Hello. Yeah. My next question is regarding growth expectation for the next 2 years.
The growth expectations for us in volume terms is around 25% year on year for the next 2 years, for the next 4 years actually. So there may be a slight, change on a quarter to quarter basis, or sometimes even in a year to year basis. And also what we do, because we have our own capacities in India as well as overseas, so sometimes what we do is we bring that material into India. So you don't see the volume growth as such, because then we process it in India and then it gets eliminated in the consolidated figures. Whenever there is an opportunity where we can, take advantage of the arbitrage in Indian prices and overseas prices. So for us, what is more important is the profitability growth. So in volume terms, although we have grown more than 12%, but only 12% get reflected in the consolidated figures.
No, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A request to all the participants, please restrict to 2 questions per participant. If time permit, please come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Vora from Sharekhan by BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. I have a couple of questions on the financials. When I go to the segmental breakup, there is an item called turnkey projects. There the segmental profits has increased very sharply to around 9.6 crore in this quarter. So any specific reason why the other segments are largely stable or declining on a sequential basis?
I could not get your question, please. Can you repeat, please?
Sir, in the segmental thing, there's an item called turnkey projects. The earnings in that segment, the earnings is significantly higher than in this quarter at around 9.6 crore. Historically, it has been,
Yeah, so basically what was happening is that because of the COVID in the past 2 years, there was not many new projects coming up in the lead recycling across the globe. But now that has started, so this year we have sold some projects outside, and that is why we've got in our fifth vertical of projects around 9 crore rupees. Going forward also you can expect something like this, because we have an order book of around 25 to 30 crores, and generally it gives you a 40% gross margin. So going forward also you can expect something similar in numbers from the projects department also.
Okay. And secondly, sir, the other income part, like is there any one-off in that at 23 crore? So do we need to exclude something from that to arrive at the adjusted PAT number?
Yeah, so there is other income part, there is majorly hedging income, which is part of the operational operational income. So we consider it as part of EBITDA because it's a hedging strategy for the company, like whatever metal prices, metal price risk we cover from the hedging. That, so that is reflected here. So that is, other than that, there is no significant one-off item which is there in this, so which can be only to the extent of some interest on the fixed deposits and all, that that's the only, and which is recurring in nature. So there is no one-off case of in other income.
Okay, what is that hedging amount hedging gain?
So in this year, FY23, out of 93 crore of other income, 88 crore was related to the hedging part. So remaining only 5 crore was related to the interest on the other fixed deposits and etc. So this 88 crore is considered in the EBITDA calculation because it's a part of the operational income.
Okay. And sir, a couple of more questions. Any guidance on the tax rate for the full year?
Yeah, tax rate currently is 11% for the group, but going forward it should be in the same range, 11 to 12%.
Okay, and lastly, sir, last quarter it was mentioned that the capex would be around 500 crore, but I think that has been revised upward by 100 crore. So, is there any change in like cost structure at any of the plants?
Yeah, so there is no significant change, but other than the capex for capex opportunity for the existing vertical and new verticals. So, like new verticals, we have considered there is more visibility on the new verticals. So that's why we have kept this target of 600 crores of capex next 4 years. So that's the.
So, but there has been no corresponding change in the like capacity expansion guidance. It remains at the same level. I was wondering, like 100 crore jump is quite significant in the case.
Yeah, but there will be no significant change in the next 4 years at least.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chirag from Ratnatra Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I wanted to just clarify the volume growth again a little bit. This quarter has been a little slower than average. Are there any kind of one-offs or any particular reasons here? And also on an ongoing basis, I understand that pricing can change the profitability, at least the headline number a little bit, but can the volume growth also be a lot more volatile? And if that is the case, why would that be?
Yeah, so volume growth target is 25% on year-on-year basis next 3 to 4 years. So this volume growth, like this year, it was 17% as compared to the FY22. This volume growth is slightly changing because there are certain times when we get some additional margins by selling the goods of the overseas units in the Indian market, because Indian market gives, sometimes Indian market gives a better realization because of the Indian demand of the metal in India. So at those times, the volume gets reduced, but because we import that overseas material to India and utilize the Indian capacities to process that goods to get that additional margin. But overall, if we compromise on the volume growth, definitely we are focused to have more growth on the bottom line side. So bottom line growth of more than 35% is more important than the volume growth like this. So we compromise sometimes on the volume growth to get the more bottom line growth. So that is the idea. And with the more bottom line growth, we get more ROC. So overall, the focus comes on the return on capital.
Understood. Okay, so very clear. So this quarter was something like that then, that there is a lot.
If you see the per ton EBITDA of lead, normally it should be in the range of 16 to 17 rupees per kg, but this time it is 20 rupees per kg. So we got this additional EBITDA margin is also 11%, which is not in general it is not there. So but at those times we compromise on the volumes.
Understood. Understood. By compromising on volumes, what you mean is that both plants, the overseas plants and the Indian plants, could have processed goods, but instead of that, what you're doing is you've directed metal from outside, scrap from outside, and to the Indian plant where the processing is happening in the Indian plant, and that offsetting is reducing the volume. Is that the right understanding?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. One more question. So just on page 26 of the investor presentation, this time we have started to give a quarterly breakup of the domestic scrap collected. Is this inclusive of the tolling business also, or is this just the outright scrap that we get?
Yeah, so this is including the total scrap collection in India. So this is including both tolling also and other corporates also.
Okay, understood. So this compared to be around 43,000 tons, if I'm asking broadly correct. What was the similar number for last year? What has the number been for last year?
42,000. So it was approximately number. So number was 41,000 approximately, yes.
Which is currently 43 odd,
yes.
Approximately. Understood. Thank you so much. If I can squeeze in one more question, otherwise I'll get back in queue.
Sure.
So, the Nicaragua divestment, could you just give us a little bit more brief on that? What was the thinking there, and is there any learning from that sort of center, the Nicaragua plant that got divested? If we can just get a few comments on that. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Yeah, basically Nicaragua plant was where we were processing this plastic PET flakes, PET recycling we were doing in Nicaragua. That was exclusive plant for this type of recycling. So we started Nicaragua plant with the more potential we saw is that we can get it, the volumes more in those geographies, and we can expand to other verticals also. But later on, when we realized that there are no such potential and the volumes are not coming up to that extent because of certain geography reasons, and there was some management bandwidth also consuming, this was also consuming. The bottom line target of return on capital target of 25% was also not, we were not able to achieve that. So then we decided to exit from Nicaragua and invest that money which we realized to other geographies where their nearest geography is Dominican Republic, where we can plan for a bigger facility for similar kind of plastic recycling and along with the paper recycling, and there is another potential of lead recycling in those geographies. So we are very focused on the return on capital with target of 25%. So wherever we see that there is no such potential to grow that to that number to that extent, we brutally exit from that location. So Nicaragua was among that one of the investments.
Understood. Very clear. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Gunjan Kabra from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to understand that how much capacity are we expecting to in the rubber recycling, how much capacity are we planning to install by FY26 also? And what kind of EBITDA per ton do we see in this segment, in rubber recycling, and also in the new segments that we are targeting, which is steel, paper, and lithium is of course a newer side, but steel and paper also, how much are we targeting EBITDA per ton?
So EBITDA per ton for different verticals is like lead is approximately 16 to 17 rupees per kg, 16,000 rupees per ton, and aluminium, because it's overseas business, 90% overseas business, so it is 18 to 19 rupees per kg. And plastic case, it is approximately, in the normal case, it is 10 rupees per kg. So the capacity expansion for plastics, we are expecting to reach to approximately 80,000 tons in next 4 years. So that's the target for plastics. And also for rubber, we are currently at 6,000 tons, and then we reach to approximately 16,000 tons in next 4 years. So currently in case of rubber, we are just focusing on the internal use of this outcome of the rubber. And, there may be a separate opportunity which can be additional number to this, where we can process the rubber, get the other...
Your voice is not audible. I'm really sorry, but your voice is not audible.
So basically in rubber, the current capacity is around 6,000 metric ton per annum, which we are expecting to increase it to 15,000 metric ton to 60,000 metric ton in the next 4 years. But that is basically for the for captive consumption only. In addition to this, we are also planning to put up other standalone rubber recycling projects, which will be in addition to this capacity of 15,000 metric ton per annum.
Okay. So the rubber is basically for captive consumption. So where is it used in our product?
So out of rubber we get pyrolysis oil, we also get steel and carbon. All these three things are used for our smelting processes in lead and aluminium. So I mean the pyrolysis oil replaces fossil fuel, similarly carbon replaces wood charcoal. So all these things basically is also a major component in creating sustainability for our operations.
Okay. So, and for steel and paper, what is the EBITDA per ton are we targeting?
Steel and paper?
Steel and paper, when we plan to expand, so we must be thinking of some EBITDA per ton, right? So, what will be that when we start the recycling for steel and paper?
So, I'll tell you, so EBITDA per ton would be different for different verticals based on different geographies. It is very, very dynamic thing. So eventually which geographies are we going to put in, because you must understand that, for example, paper is a very small, so the I mean per ton paper would be around 50 to $80 per ton, as compared to lead being $2,000 per ton. So there is a huge difference in terms of that, but at the same time the total capex cost is very high in these things. So based on these two things, the EBITDA margins would be different. But if we talk about on a benchmark figure for say, for example, in future around 18 to 20% EBITDA margins would be there for steel, and around 30% to 35% EBITDA margins would be there for paper. But it will be in terms of percentages. In terms of absolute number, it would be much lower, because the price of the commodity is very less compared to the steel. So I mean compared to the lead or aluminium prices that we hear.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt you, Gunjan. I'll request to join the queue again for a follow-up question. A request to all the participants, please restrict to one question per participant. The next question is from the line of Rohit from Vijit Global. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity. First of all, congrats for a good set of numbers. My question was, major overseas operations are from African countries like Ghana, Senegal, Mozambique and Tanzania. Are there any specific reasons to it? And what are your plans for expansion in these locations?
Yeah, so basically there are two, three options to expand in the geographies. One is wherever we are in this existing verticals. So we are already at the 60 to 70% market share of those verticals in those geographies. So another opportunity is to expand into other verticals. Like we are already replicating the new verticals. Like earlier we added aluminium. So now we are in the process of replicating aluminium recycling at all the locations. Like Senegal, this year we have started Senegal. And we are also adding new vertical rubber recycling at all the locations, plastic recycling at all the locations. So whatever we start new, that we replicate at the existing locations. Because it is very difficult to from 60-70% to reach to 90%. But it is very easy as compared to that is to add new verticals instead of going in that. So this gets us more economy of scale. So we are growing by two things. One is existing location with the new verticals and new location with the new verticals and the existing vertical also.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Sinha from Pi Square Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the follow-up. I just wanted to understand what is the demand for our these value-added products that we are currently having, and also how do we sustain this 25-30% growth for the next 3 years, because it's quite a substantial growth rate.
Yes, in fact, if you see the value-added products, we are diversifying not only to the battery industry, lead-acid battery industry, but also we are targeting to power cable industry, chemicals and pigment industry, and radiation production industry. So in each and every locations, like in India, earlier we were having the value-added capacity in Phagi only. Now we have added the capacity in Mundra, and also expanding this capacity to at Mundra location. Till date, we were not having value-added capacity in African center, so we are putting up the value-added capacity in Ghana center also, so that European and nearby Turkish market can be covered. So we are pretty sure that whatever we are targeting for the 50% of our volume should go to the value-added industry, it will be reached. Moreover, like the cost of production, if you see Europe vis-a-vis Indian, it's a much difference. So it will be a good opportunity for supply from India to meet the increased demand of the European market.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sabri Hazarika from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. And so this is the last question. So thank you so much for this call and for the insight. So I just wanted to know this this new debt facility, you have already drawn it or it is right now, it's a facility now?
Yeah, so currently we have just signed the document, loan document from this European Development Financial Institutions. But in the next 1 or 2 months, we will be drawing this money and using this money to lease out, release the liquidity for our Indian facilities.
Right. So right now, this money will replace some debt, right? So that will be like, or it will be like a, on fresh capex only.
Yeah, partly approximately 4 to 5 million is for the fresh capex, and remaining is going to replace our working capital requirement of the overseas business. So it will be used in overseas business, but it will release the working capital. Currently Indian money is used for the overseas working capital, so that will be released from that overseas market. So in overseas business will be self dependent from this money.
Right, sir. Got it sir. And thank you once again, sir, for this call, and congratulations on a good set of numbers. And so with this, we come to the end of this call, and I request you for the closing comments, sir. Thank you, Sabri.
Yeah, thank you, Sabri. Financial year 23 was a tremendous year for our company across all fronts, and we are confident that by pursuing new opportunities, we will continue to grow and fulfill our clear vision for 2027. We hope that we have addressed all of your questions. If you have any unanswered inquiries, please do not hesitate to contact our investor relations team at Go India Advisors. I would like to express my gratitude to all of the participants for joining us on this call and listening to our updates. Thank you all once again. Thanks.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Gravita India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.